Hello, guys, and welcome to the podcast. And you might think we're gone. We haven't been here in a while, but we were so busy and we had stuff to do. And I mean, we love sports broadcasting, so we try to get out an episode. We try to pick dates, and it took literally forever. But we are back now to make an episode, and it's been so long since we last made an episode, but we are gonna get one out. Well, right now. So we have a lot to talk about. A lot has happened in the sports world since we last made an episode. But we have to start off with the biggest news. We have to start off talking about this. Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and a bunch of others died in a tragic helicopter crash. And it's honestly terrible. Kobe was a legend who inspired so many people outside of basketball. He just was a character, hell of a character. And Sam, we'll talk about Kobe for a little bit. What do you have to say about Kobe?
Well, I mean, we probably won't dive into it as deep as many. Yeah. Everyone's probably heard it already, but just to summarize it, he meant more to the sport of basketball than almost everyone. What he did inspired a whole generation. He was just a great player, and he was a great person, and it's sad to see him go.
I mean, there's a reason why every NBA player was talking about it as soon as it happened. God, please know everything about it. And his daughter, a bunch of others. It was very tragic. But for Yankees fans, we are going on a higher note.
We're about 3 months too late on this news, but yeah.
I know, Gerrit Cole signing with the Yankees, obviously, we're talking about for us Yankees fans. So I personally feel as this puts us over the hump, World Series. I think it's addition by subtraction. I think it's a great move with Gerrit Cole. I mean, he's obviously an incredible player. Addition by subtraction, the Astros don't have him no more, and the Astros also are probably going to get punished. They did get punished a little because of their sign stealing, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit later. But I mean, Gerrit Cole, I mean, a lot of people said the Yankees' biggest weakness was their pitching. So at the end of the day, this Gerrit Cole signing is huge for the New York Yankees.
Just think about this. Yankees rotation wasn't terrible.
It wasn't last terrible. Year. No, not at all.
The problem with the Yankees rotation is that they didn't have that guy that you could say every game that you put him in is going to give you the best shot of winning. Yes, Severino's good, but he's inconsistent in the playoffs. He's inconsistent in the regular season, as we saw in 2018 when he was healthy. And we saw in 2018 that he was able to throw four almost no-hit innings in the wild card game and then get blown out in game three of the ALDS against Boston. Masahiro Tanaka he's more the playoff guy you can hang on to and say that he's a playoff hero for us. But in the regular season, he's very inconsistent. James Paxton is more of the same, although James Paxton does have a lot of the ace-like stuff. And don't even get me started with Jay Happ. Like, I don't want to hear anything about him. Domingo Herman, same thing. Don't want to hear about that. Gerrit Cole is the guy that you can trust every five games to not stress the bullpen and just get quality seven innings.
Honestly, when the MLB added that one wild card game format years back, I mean, you need that one guy in case you go to the wild card game, which the Yankees are probably not. They're probably winning the division. But you need that one guy if you go to the wild card game to get you that win. And if the Yankees somehow are in that position, the Red Sox lost Mookie Betts, but if somehow another team wins that AL division, then you need Gerrit Cole in that wild card.
I don't think they lose the division. I look across the board and I don't see that any of those teams improved. We saw that Tampa Bay traded away Tommy Pham for Hunter Renfro, which I found a very confusing trade. I thought Tommy Pham was a very good player for Tampa Bay last year. Hunter Renfro is a good power hitter, but his defense is very bad. I can see him being more of a DH for them. They traded away Emilio Pagan, who was one of their best relievers last year. The Red Sox traded away Mookie Betts. The Blue Jays are still on the up and coming, and don't get even started with the Orioles. They don't even need to be talked
about.
I'm
pretty sure you don't mean Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow is the wide receiver for Oakland.
But, yeah, they have the same. They have the same name.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, but so next up, it's the reaction to the NBA stat leaders. We're gonna talk about the NBA season. We wanted to do this a while ago, and James Harden at one point this year was averaging around 39 points per game. That is absolutely ridiculous. But now he's down to 35.3 points a game. But James Harden, just his scoring is straight up ridiculous. Like, you cannot argue that. And, I mean, when a down game for you is 26 points, you know, like, you're doing something right. I mean, the Houston Rockets, they have been okay. They have been good this year. They haven't been anything special. But, I mean, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, if Russell Westbrook continues to stay on fire, this Houston team, even without P.J. Tucker getting destroyed in the paint, Robert Covington, I mean, it's a good addition. But even without a lack of a true big man, Houston can still at least win a playoff series.
Well, I don't disagree on that, but you have to also see that the offense of the Houston Rockets is specifically built for James Harden to score as much as possible. I've said before, I don't like the Rockets. I don't think James Harden is the player that can lead your team to a championship. I just don't think so. He hasn't done it before, and I see no evidence of him doing anything in the playoffs at all. I think that James Harden is a tremendous scorer. There's nothing that is going to take away from that. He's one of the best scorers. I think he's the best scorer in the NBA since Kobe. Back when he had that insane run when he was the top dog on the Lakers.
I mean,
but I don't think James Harden's game translates into the playoffs, and I don't even think he's good enough to win MVP, to be honest.
I mean, he already did win an MVP, but at
this year. I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, this year, this year. If he stayed at 39 points a game, or 38 points a game, I don't care what anybody says. I think James Harden deserves
it. Yes, but his defense is just so bad. Like, at that point, you're just ignoring one half of the game. I can't have somebody that just is not a defensive player. Just doesn't do any – at least try. Like, Steph Curry at least tries.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook at least tries. But James Harden just doesn't look like he cares on defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't say he's the best scorer since Kobe. I would say he's the best scorer since prime KD. Maybe because KD is a ridiculous scorer for 7 foot.
Oh, that's a good argument. I forgot about KD.
Yeah, I mean, KD is a ridiculous scorer. He's a machine.
They're very similar. But I think a pure scorer, I think I'd go with Harden.
Next up for points a game is Giannis Antetokounmpo averaging 30 points a game. And Giannis, this is the favorite to win MVP. The Bucks
are I think he should be a unanimous MVP this year.
The Bucks, I mean, next year, in my opinion, Luka Doncic is going to win MVP. But for this year, I think Giannis, this is his year. The Bucks have been ridiculous. And you know, after next year, when he's a free agent, that guy is going to get paid. And, I mean, he's the best player in the NBA right now, safe to assume. I mean, I still think Kawhi Leonard, even proving in the All-Star game when I said he was the best player in the offseason after winning the Raptors a title, I think he's the top three best player in the league. I think LeBron James also has to go in that top three best player in the league. I think Giannis, Kawhi, and LeBron are top three. Steph Curry, KD are hurt, so they're not really competition. Luka Doncic is a little too young. And at the end of the day, I think those are the top three players in the league. But moving on, next is Trae Young, averaging 29.7 points a game. That is just ridiculous for a second-year guy. He deserves to be an all-star starter. Trae Young, the people who are comparing him to Steph Curry, hey, you don't look like a complete fool now. The guy has had an incredible first 2 years. He's scored 30 points a game way earlier, a way younger age than Steph Curry. So I honestly think Trae Young has the potential to be better than Steph Curry, even though that's saying a lot because Steph Curry is a top-5 point guard. But at the end of the day, Trae Young has to develop a little bit better defense and better than Steph Curry. If Trae Young has a slightly better defense and develops slightly better defense than Steph Curry over his career, and he continues the pace that he's at, Trae Young could be a better point guard than Steph Curry and maybe go top 5 all time.
Well, I don't think the Mavericks or the Hawks are regretting their decision. I remember last year, people were saying Trae Young's a bust. They got robbed. Luka is, both of these players are special. These are absolutely special players, and I think both of them are going to lead their franchise to hopefully the right place. The Hawks are a bit confusing because I just don't know about them. They're very young, that's what I'll say. But I want to say something else. I don't, if any of you are still here who are listening, I think you'll remember our NBA title predictions from the beginning of the season. Both of us said Clippers, I think, and 76ers. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to change this right now because I don't want to talk about it again. The Sixers are not going to win the championship.
Oh,
Are not going to go
Bucks
to the
Clippers. Bucks
championship.
Clippers.
There is no way. I am not going Boston. I'm not going Milwaukee. I'm going with the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are going to the finals, and they're going to play the Clippers.
I like to brag. I like to brag because earlier this year in the Eastern Conference standings predictions, I said, "Hey, Miami's going to be a top 5 seed, top 4 seed. They're incredible. I mean, I didn't expect Bam Adebayo to be as near as good he is now, but Jimmy
Hey,
Butler, he has
the
shown."
only reason I said they weren't there, I had no idea about this man, Duncan Robinson. I didn't know Hero was going to be this good. I didn't know Kendrick Nunn. I didn't even know who he
I didn't know
was
who Kendrick Nunn was
coming
either.
into this. He is special. He is special. I can't reiterate. And they have the perfect pieces on that team. There are questions about if they just have enough talent to get by people like the Celtics or the Bucks, but I have full faith. I think that they're going to win the championship, or not win the championship. I'm sorry. They're going to go to the championship. I still have the Clippers winning it this year. I rested at that.
Honestly, the biggest thing of the Lakers Clippers of who's winning is if Paul George can return to his OKC self. I don't know if he can do it, but Paul George needs to step up. Lou Williams cannot be a liability on defense. I mean, Montrezl Harrell has to step up. I mean, the Clippers are still a great team, but I mean, we'll talk about the Clippers later because some Clipper player is on top 10 in scoring. But moving on, next is Damian Lillard. 29.5 points a game.
Oh boy, here you go.
Blazers. Blazers.
Not even in the playoffs.
You better get. All I'm going to say to you is you better get in the playoffs next year. I told you this offseason
Next year.
you should have found a good trade for CJ. CJ took a little bit of a step back this year. And Nurkic is still not healthy. I don't know if Yusuf Nurkic is a complete X factor when healthy to get us back into the playoffs. I was proud of Melo, but Melo's taking a little bit of a step back now. He's always been inefficient. But Damian, to even try to get us past the Grizzlies, which we were still a couple of games behind, with a
And John
rookie Ja
Moran, bro.
Morant, with a rookie Ja Morant, I think it's pathetic that Dame has to do so much. And honestly, if I was Dame, I'm not gonna lie. As a Trailblazer myself, Damian Lillard is my favorite player of all time in all of sports. Maybe Joe Thomas is the I'm a Browns fan, is the only other some.
Oh, yes, we do know you're a Browns fan.
Yeah, so, or I mean, Devin Singletary comes a little close, but
Oh, boy. How do you ha wait, quick question. I'm gonna go off task a little bit. How do you feel about that Bills Texans game?
I mean, that Bills Texans game, the Bills completely choked. I mean,
The Bills would have won if there wasn't the behind the back foul called. They would have won that game, field goal, and most definitely would have not beaten Kansas City, but
yeah, I know.
we'll
So,
get into this later.
Damian Lillard, I mean, putting 61 against the Warriors, the guy is just incredible. I mean, Mac Cleveland said there couldn't be an MVP candidate on a losing team. But at the end of the day, if you're asking me the top five MVP candidates, number one, Giannis. Number two, LeBron. Number three,
Okay.
James Harden. Number four, Luka. Number five, Damian Lillard.
You're pushing it. You're kind of pushing it. I'd say you're gonna. Okay, everyone just prepare. I take Jimmy Butler as an MVP candidate over Damian Lillard.
Okay, I mean, they're both weren't all-star starters, so I mean that's a thing against them. But moving on next, Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, all you have to say is that he's been carrying the Wizards, and the Wizards are just a trash team. Brad Beal is incredible, complete all-star snub. How can you be averaging 29 points a game and not make the all-star game? This world where like scoring is like getting bigger and bigger and more points are scored, it's getting ridiculous in numbers that people are putting up that are not making the all-star game. It's getting crazy. D-Book wasn't originally an all-star. We'll get to D-Book later. And, I mean, Bradley Beal is just carrying the Wizards team. We have to wait till John Wall gets back.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what he's going to do. I could see him requesting a trade in the offseason. I don't know where he would go.
I mean, if the Blazers somehow find a way to replace CJ McCollum, they give up CJ McCollum, maybe a young piece like Ant Simmons, they give somebody, Ant Simons, they give somebody else up. I mean, if we find a way to flip CJ for Bradley Beal, I mean, I would love that. But, I mean, the Blazers have to make a move. I mean, Dame, he cannot retire without a ring. It's going to hurt me to see him retire without a ring. But
I don't think the Blazers win a ring.
All right, yeah.
It's going to have to be on someone else.
So, number six in scoring, Luka Doncic, 28.9 points. I ranked him as the 23rd best player in the NBA going into this year. And people were saying I'm overrating him after his rookie year. And listen, I mean, I knew Doncic's potential, but I did not expect him to be this good this quick. Luka Doncic, people are already saying he has the potential to be the greatest basketball player of all time.
Oh, no, no, we're not going there after 1.5 seasons. You need to win rings.
People are saying he has the potential, not that he will be.
The potential to be the greatest of all. Oh, okay. All
right, yeah. All right, moving on next. Russell Westbrook averaging 27.2 points a game. I mean, Russ, he's been on fire lately. And, I mean, people are complaining about his numbers, but I mean, complaining that like he had a down year with the Rockets. People always find a way to complain about Russ, and I do not love Russ at all. But Russell Westbrook's not averaging a triple double this year, I believe. I don't think he's averaging a triple double, and yes, he's not averaging a triple double. And I mean, just people find a way to hate on Russ. I mean, if the Houston Rockets don't get the first round, I think it's clear that Russell Westbrook is a problem.
I don't like the whole stat patter argument against Russ.
You used to use it.
I did. When did I say this?
You used to use the stat patter argument.
I did never use the stat. I've always been on Russ's side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it because you have to be good in order to be a stat patter. Like, there's no way, like, I don't understand that. Oh my god,
that's true. That's true. I mean, but
it's the same argument that people use with Eli Manning. I think Russell Westbrook, stat compiler.
Point guards in the league right now. I think Damian Lillard is the best point guard in the league right now. Until Steph Curry proves himself that he's back from his hand, I think even on ESPN they said Dame was the best point guard in the league right now. I think Trae Young is number two. Well, Steph Curry's technically number two right now. Actually has a broken hand, so I can't rank him right
later,
now.
Later in this, I'm going to get into – because they use the same argument for Eli Manning being a stat compiler. I'm going to get into later – I'm going to rant about the people who don't think he should be a Hall of Famer.
All right. So we're going to also do the top five rebounders and assisters, but we're going to do top 10 points. So Kawhi Leonard, 27.2 points. It's all about the playoffs, man. Can we just move on to the next? It's all about the playoffs with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, all-star MVP. All right, Anthony Davis, 26.6 points. AD hasn't lost a step. I'm not surprised. Anthony Davis is an incredible player. He's a freak of nature. I think he's going to go down as a top five power forward of all time, at least. And I mean, Davis, like, he was putting up ridiculous numbers before his prime, and now this is Anthony Davis's prime. And
hold on, I got breaking news right here, actually, from Woj right now. A little bit unrelated from this, but John Bellion is resigning as Cleveland's head coach. JB Bickerstaff is going to be elevated to that head coaching position. What are your thoughts?
Cleveland. Why did you trade for Andre Drummond? Actually, never mind. I'm not asking that because you completely won that deal. Because, listen, the Pistons, you gave up nothing. But why were you the team to give up nothing for Andre Drummond? He's probably going to leave in the offseason. You have two undersized guards, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, who do have a lot of potential. And, I mean, Cleveland's just going to be bad for a long time. I mean, you're never going to find a LeBron in the draft again. That's all I got to say about Cleveland. But John Beilein, he's not the greatest. No, he's not the one. But, so AD, I mean, that was his prime. Move on to the last score, Devin Booker, 26.4 points. He was an all-star stud, but he got his all-star appearance. So, congratulations to him. What do you have to say on Devin Booker?
Yeah, Devin Booker, it was crazy that he was off. He's one of the most underrated players that we have in our game right now. He's one of the best.
I think he looks underrated.
How is he not underrated?
I mean, yes, he was an all-star snub, and he should be an all-star. He should be voted in straight up as an all-star. But D-Book, people respect him. I mean, he got in a Travis Scott song, for Christ's sake. I mean, literally, D-Book is not disrespected. People love D-Book. People look up to him. He's a great scorer, but his defense is subpar. I mean, he's not as, like, great as a scorer. He's not as, like, impactful as a player as Trae Young or Damian Lillard. And, I mean, it's just D-Book is a great player, but he's not underrated.
All right,
rebounds, top five, number one, Andre Drummond, averaging 15.8 rebounds a game. Listen, I'm sick of people saying Andre Drummond could just rebound. The guy is a top-tier center. He is one of the best third options you can get on a championship team. Like, I don't think he could be a second option. Maybe he can be a second option on a championship team. But he could certainly be one of the best third options on a team in the league that will win a championship. If you pair LeBron and AD side beside Andre Drummond, I don't even think – I think they're going to breach the championship with ease. I think they can go 16-0 in the playoffs with LeBron, AD, and Drummond. Maybe the Clippers give them a game or two. Maybe the Bucks give them a game or two in the finals if that ever happened, that team ever happened. But other than that, I think Andre Drummond's a great third option, and I'm sick of people saying he can not rebound.
It's tough. Andre Drummond is a good player, but he's not a great player. Like,
he's not a superstar.
He's a borderline all-star most of the time. But is that good enough? We don't know. His free throw percentage still isn't great. Like, people think that...
I mean, it's props him for improving. And he's a good free throw shooter. It just says that he cracks under the pressure.
Yeah, but it's tough. Andre Drummond is a very tough player for me to...
All right. Moving on next is Rudy Gobert, averaging 14.6 rebounds.
Are we even surprised? Do we need to talk about...
You love how Rudy Gobert.
I've ranted so much about Rudy Gobert.
If you look at the box score, Rudy Gobert is... I mean, you're like... He's just a good rebounder. He's an okay player.
Rudy Gobert's okay impact player.
Rudy Gobert's impact goes much beyond the box score. I literally think he's also a good third option. I don't think Utah's winning a championship with Rudy Gobert as a second option. And part of that is because Donovan Mitchell...
He's not the second option.
He is the second option. Part of that is because Donovan Mitchell...
Mike Conley is the second option.
In my opinion, Mike Conley's averaging 13.5 points a game. I can't call him the second option. I mean, well, Rudy Gobert's the second-best player. Let's just say he's second-best player. And part of that is because Donovan Mitchell is the best player on this team, and Donovan Mitchell is young, and he can... I don't think he can win a championship as the best player, no matter what people say about Utah. So, but Rudy Gobert, once again, like Andre Drummond, he can be a... If you pair him, LeBron, and AD, they're going to go 16-0 in the playoffs, and Rudy Gobert would be a great third option. But moving on next is Hassan Whiteside for 14.1 rebounds. I think he's a great fourth option, maybe. But Hassan Whiteside, I don't... As a Blazers fan, I still don't love him. I mean, sure, he's, like, putting up good numbers. on a subpar playoff team, which I thought the Blazers were definitely going to make the playoffs this year. So it's tough for me. But Hassan Whiteside, I mean, he's just a solid center. He's getting outside of his prime soon. In 2 years, he's not going to be in his prime. He's not even close to his prime. So, I mean, Hassan Whiteside, 14.1 rebound in the game, solid play.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had the same thing. Like, when he left Miami, he didn't do anything in the playoffs for them. He's just not as good as a player that I thought he was.
Honestly, if Miami moved Bam to power forward and kept Hassan Whiteside, like, this whole time at center with Jimmy Butler, I think they would have a better chance of making the finals than they did now. Because I don't think they're making the finals, no matter what you say. So, moving on next, Clint Capella averaging 13.8 rebounds a game, obviously now an Atlanta Hawk. I mean, Clint Capella, he's just a good center. I cannot call him all-star level. I'm sorry. He's just a good center. And, I mean, Clint Capella is just Clint Capella. I never had too much to say about him. He's good rebound, good rebounder. He can't really stretch the floor great. He's above average NBA center.
I think he's the same, but I think he can be, those are the kind of players you need. And he could be the starting center on a championship team. He almost was a couple years back when the Rockets almost took out the Warriors when they missed about 27 straight threes when Chris Paul got injured. I think if that doesn't happen, Rockets actually go to the championship. But we're not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah.
I think Clint Capella is a very good player. He's not an all-star player, but like those are very it's very tough to get people like Clint Capella. And you saw the length that trade was in order just to acquire him.
And five is Giannis averaging 13.5 rebounds a game. We already talked about Giannis MVP. Now let's get on to the assist leaders in the NBA. LeBron James averaging 10.8 assists. LeBron James surprising everybody with assist numbers, but you have AD on your team. It's not that much of a surprise. So, I mean, LeBron, we already talked about LeBron. I mean, you could say a little bit more if you want, but LeBron James just great.
Yeah, there's not much to say. He's LeBron.
Trae Young, Luka Doncic, we already talked about them. Trae Young averaging 9.2 assists per game. Luka Doncic averaging 8.7 assists per game. Both great young players with a lot of potential. Ricky Rubio, 8.6 assists a game. Ricky Rubio, I mean, he's doing what the Suns expected of him. I mean, I think the Suns still overpaid him a little bit, but the Suns want him to pass the ball, and he's averaging 8.6 assists a game. It's what he's doing. That's just what we want Ricky Rubio to do.
Yeah, Rubio's always been a great passer in his career. That's what he was known for most of his career, and he's just been repeating that. I think it's good for the Suns that they finally have a true point guard. I don't think they've had a real point guard since Eric Bledsoe or Brendan Knight, but they're still Brandon not going Knight's anywhere.
I mean, Eric Bledsoe, the Dragic, the IT era, real point guard. But next to Ben Simmons, averaging 8.3 assists per game. Ben Simmons is an all-star, but at this point, he's never going to get a jump shot, I'm convinced. And, I mean, unless he starts surprising people, and I think his ceiling is 23 points a game. I never think he's going to average. Maybe he won't get up there. I don't think he's averaging 23-plus points a game in his career. I don't think he's going to be an MVP candidate in his career. I'm not a lover of Ben Simmons. I think if he was going to get to the MVP candidate type in his career, I think he would have proved it now or at least showed flashes of it now. And I really don't think he showed flashes of God.
Don't even get me started with Ben Simmons. I'm not talking about the 76ers. They don't even deserve it.
Alrighty. Well, next up, the Super Bowl outcome. Super Bowl, Chiefs won 31-20. So, I mean, we'll talk about the Super Bowl for a little bit. Do you think Patrick Mahomes deserved Super Bowl MVP?
Of course he did. He was the main reason for that comeback. I feel just so bad for Kyle Shanahan going from 28-3 to this.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, I mean, I think if the 49ers had, say, like, I mean, obviously not Bill Belichick, because the 49ers would never get Bill Belichick. I mean, if they had Bill Belichick, I think they would have no problem beating the Chiefs. But if they had, like, a better coach than Kyle Shanahan, in my opinion, I think they would have won the Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes, I mean, yeah, he deserved Finals MVP. Rashad Breeland had a hot start to the game. But Chris Jones, people are saying he should win an MVP. Damian Williams, I do not think Damian Williams should have won MVP.
I think it was either Mahomes or Travis Kelce. Those are the only two I could think.
Nobody on the Chiefs really balled out in the Super Bowl.
Travis Kelce did have that great fourth quarter.
I mean, yeah, so honestly, I don't think there should be any complaints that Mahomes won MVP. But the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I mean, good for Mahomes. He got his ring. Mahomes still has the potential to be a top five greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion, if he keeps the way he is. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, they both have that potential. They just have to stop getting hit. And, like, guys who can, like, run like that, they usually have short careers, but let's hope that's not the case for Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. The 49ers still have a very young team, DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, their team is good. Like,
Nick Bosa. I mean, George Kittle is still super young.
Their team is very good. Like,
honestly, Jimmy G. There's a big debate about if he's a franchise quarterback or not.
If your team makes the Super Bowl and goes 13-3, I think, yes, he is a franchise quarterback.
I think Jimmy G is an above-average quarterback.
There is no better quarterback on the market right now that I think is better than Jimmy G.
Pat, what do you mean on the market?
Free agency or available in a trade.
Okay, well, available on the trade. I mean, I don't think the Niners are trading Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's not
no.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say he's on the market, but
he's on the market. I'm talking about other quarterbacks on the market.
I mean, so this 2020 NFL draft, I have done the most scouting, and I know more about this draft class than I do any other draft class in the history of any sport. And I've did 2 mock drafts already. Well, I did like more like 10 mock drafts already. But I printed out and like had my official first 2 mock drafts. And we could talk about them a little bit. You could talk about your top 5 picks. We're only going to talk about top 5. We're not going to get deep into these prospects. But for my first mock draft, number 1 overall, I have Cincinnati Bengals selecting Joe Burrow. I mean,
well, that's obvious. Everyone, it's almost definite.
It's almost locked in. Joe Burrow, I mean, we'll talk about Joe Burrow for a bit. I mean, Joe Burrow, in my opinion, I legit think he's the average NFL quarterback. I don't think he's the top. I think he's the fourth best quarterback in this draft. And this is very out there. Listen, don't think I wasn't impressed by Joe Burrow this season. Because, listen, Joe Burrow, he's ridiculous. That game against Oklahoma, you think he's the next coming of Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not doubting whatever Joe Burrow did at LSU. I mean, you still got to ask yourself the questions of, I mean, he was mocked as a fourth-round pick before the draft. You still got to ask yourselves the questions of why Joe Burrow leaped on so many draft boards and what happened to him this year. How did he turn into this freak at LSU? But so you do have to ask yourself that. But at the end of the day, I think Joe Burrow still deserves to go number 1 overall. I mean, I'm not going to punish Cincinnati on my draft grades because I'm going to do draft grade after draft. I'm not going to.
Cincinnati needs a quarterback.
It's almost locked. I mean, if I was Cincinnati's GM, I would probably trade back to 6 to get Justin Herbert because I'm a fan of Justin Herbert. But at the end of the day, I mean, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati's not the best things up. I don't think it's that controversial. I'm not going to give him a bad draft grade. I think he's going to be an average, maybe above average NFL quarterback. I think he's solid. I don't think he's anything super special, though, for a number 1 overall pick. Okay, next up, number 2, Washington Redskins, Chase Young out of Ohio State. This is also pretty much locked in. We talked about Chase Young a little bit earlier. You think Chase Young is the best player in this draft.
I personally do not think
Chase Young is the best player in this draft, like most people. People are saying he's going to be the All-Pro, the best edge rusher in the league. Listen, Chase Young is going to, in my opinion, is going to be that lower-tier Pro Bowl guy. The guy who makes the Pro Bowl, but it's not anything special. maybe like an 88, 89, 90 overall Madden. Nothing super, super great.
Why are you using Madden ratings?
Okay, no. See, I know it's weird using Madden ratings, but like an 88, 89, 90 is a basic definition of a solid edge rusher, but nothing super, super special. Chase Young, at the end of the day, I think he's a good player. He's going to be a good edge rusher. But he's nothing – people are overrating him, in my opinion. But if I'm the Redskins, I'm still taking Chase Young number two, even though I don't think he's the second best player in the draft.
We have this – we have different opinions on Chase Young, but I will say those two, Burrow and Young,
number two.
I think are in everyone's mock drafts, including mine.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you're kind of crazy.
All right. So for number three, it's between Jeff Okuda and Isaiah Simmons. In one of my mock drafts, I have my second mock draft, I have Simmons going number three. But in my first mock draft, I have Jeff Okuda going three. I think Jeff Okuda has the potential to be one of the if Darius Slay doesn't go out of his prime anytime soon, I think this could be one of the best corner duos in the league. Jeff Okuda, I expect him to have a similar rookie season to Denzel Ward, my Browns, like, you know, a Pro Bowl level type rookie season. And I think he's going to be a solid corner like Denzel Ward. I don't think he's going to be anything great like Chase Young. In my opinion, the best two football players in this draft are both from Bama. Jedrick Willis, I think, is the best player available in this draft. And then I think Jerry Jeudy is the second best player available in this draft. And at the end of the day, I think Jeff Okuda is a solid, very solid corner. So I would not hurt the Lions draft rate if they take him at three. Now, as a Giants fan, I want you to ask you this. So I have Okuda going at four in one draft. I have Simmons going at four to you in another draft. I know you want to take Jedrick Willis. I know you think you should get him. And if you get Jedrick Willis, I'm happy for you. You have the right to be cocky, even though you really didn't have the right to be cocky for any other pick, Daniel Jones or whatever. So, I mean, we can talk about Jedrick Willis a little bit later, but how do you feel about Isaiah Simmons or Jeff Okuda going to your team, and how would you feel about either of them?
I'm more confident, honestly. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go into on my mock draft right. Well, we have most of the same picks, except I have Willis going four to the Giants. But here's my problem. I don't have a problem with Okuda. I just think that we need more important positions than cornerback. We already had DeAndre Baker, who wasn't great his rookie year, but he looked like he improved in the second half of the year. We have Sam Beal. We have potential there. It's not a need for us, but he's still one of the best players in this draft. My problem with Isaiah Simmons is, what position is he?
Linebacker.
That's the big question.
Linebacker.
Yeah, but is he really a linebacker? We saw him as free safety, strong safety, linebacker.
I mean, listen, I think we need to have Simmons is a good play. At the end of the day, I think Joe Burrow's okay. I like Chase Young. I like Okuda. I like Isaiah Simmons.
And I'm scared, though.
But
linebackers are weird to take early.
Okay, with the fifth pick.
I don't.
The fifth pick, the Miami Dolphins and my mock draft, and both mock drafts take Tua Tagovailoa. And at the end of the day, in a good old SBC rant, the Dolphins making this pick is going to be my rant for SBC. I think, okay, I'm not going to – I'll shame on Tua. I mean, I'll maybe throw some shade at Tua a little bit later. But at the end of the day, I'm not even going to disrespect Tua right now. I'm going to disrespect Tua going to Miami. Listen, Miami, Tua is not your guy. First of all, he's injury prone. He maybe played 9 games a year. And if you want that, Miami's not going to have a competent backup. Who knows if Josh Rosen or Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to stay on your team for next year. Tua is very injury prone. But listen, Tua is a left-handed quarterback. So what's his blind side, Sam? What's his blind side?
The right.
Exactly. And guess who they had on the right side? Jedrick Willis, in my opinion, who is the best player in this draft. And guess what? The Miami Dolphins O-line absolutely sucks.
Wait, where are they getting Jedrick Willis?
So Tua is going to have more of a chance of getting hurt even more. And the guy literally had Jedrick Willis blocking for him on his blind side.
Where are they getting Jedrick Willis from?
Huh? What?
Where are they getting Jedrick Willis from?
No, I didn't say they're getting Jedrick Willis. He had Jedrick Willis blocking from Alabama.
And then, I thought you meant.
And then he also had Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy to throw the ball to. Devontae Parker had a good year, but listen, he's not gonna. Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs compared to the college level is way better than Devontae Parker compared to the NFL level. And I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you're not putting around two around the right guys. His O-line is going to absolutely be atrocious, which is going to give him more of a chance of being injury prone. Then you're literally going to have to rely on Brian Flores, who's one of the best coaches in the league, to carry you again to 5-6 wins. The Dolphins, Tua isn't your guy. Don't take a quarterback. Try to improve your O-line. Try to get a running back. You have a lot of picks. Maybe take a quarterback in the second round. If you can get a guy like Jacob Eason with one of your second early second-round picks, I would be ecstatic. I mean, and maybe you can even have – maybe you can even have a clipboard behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. Keep Ryan Fitzpatrick on your team. But at the end of the day, I mean, Tua – I mean, if Tua goes to Miami, I think Miami's going to ruin Tua. I think Miami should take DeAndre Swift with one of their later first-round picks or maybe the early second-round pick. I think Miami should get an edge rusher like Yetur Gross-Matos, Kalyvon Chaisson, and maybe get an O-tackle like Josh Jones later in the draft. But at the end of the day, Tua at 5 is not your guy. I really feel like the Dolphins should go with Tua's teammate, Jedrick Willis, number 5 overall, if the Giants do not take him at 4. Maybe even a guy like Andrew Thomas or Mekhi Becton or Tristan Wirfs maybe is a little bit of a reach at 5 because Mekhi Becton, in my opinion, has one of the biggest bust potential in the draft. I don't care about his size, his physically enormous size. I would be pissed if the Browns take him at 10. I want Tristan Wirfs or Jedrick Willis at 10. And even in some of my mock drafts, I have the Browns' Grant Delpit, who originally was the Browns' like mock in like early like 11, 12, is falling to them at 41. And if Grant Delpit falls to the Browns at 41, I will be partying. But at the end of the day, I mean, just Tua, I mean, I just don't like him to Miami. That's all I can say.
Well, we're talking about a guy who, before he got injured, was probably the consensus number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, and that's true. That is true.
He still has that all-world potential. It's just the injury issue. If he's injured, sit him for the year. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't even know what's happening with Josh Rosen at this point, but I think you still have him on the roster. So you have options to start with. You have to get your quarterback. Dolphins need to get their quarterback this year. They need to do it. They need to get that high-energy player. Nobody knows – I think he's probably one of the most Joe Burrow, yeah, he's popular this year. Before that, it was Tua and Tua
just
only.
Just because I don't like the Tua pick doesn't mean I'm going to give the Dolphins a terrible grade. Like, for example, if I go later into the same mock draft or one of the mock drafts that Miami's taking Tua, I have them taking Josh Jones at 26, which is a steal of a pick, a very, very good pick. And then if I go later into the mock draft, I have them taking cornerback Trayvon Diggs, number 39. Which is also a very, very good pick. I think they have more on picks if I can look in this mock draft. I have them taking DeAndre Swift at 56, which might be the biggest steal of the draft. And, I mean, even though I don't love DeAndre Swift from where he's projected. And, I mean, this Miami Dolphins team, to get an edge rusher. I mean, get an edge rusher, get an O-tackle, get O-line help, and, I mean, you don't necessarily have to spend your fifth overall pick on Tua. The Dolphins don't have to feel forced like they have to.
All right.
So last topic of the day. Sam, I know you're going to go on a rant of this. It's about just – we're talking about the Astros signs dealing.
So, oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Yankees fan. It's gonna get a spot hurt. But listen, Jose Altuve – do you think he literally got caught wearing a buzzer under his thing? Mike Trout was a little suspicious of him not letting his teammates rip his shirt off after the big play. And, I mean, at the end of the day, people, especially Yankees fans, are saying, listen, Jose Altuve should be suspended forever. Literally suspended forever. And, yes, I think the Astros are a bunch of cheaters. I mean, they kind of screwed the Yankees over. I mean, I don't know if the Yankees would have beat the Nationals. I think the Yankees might have beat the Nationals in the World Series. And at the end of the day, I mean, just, I mean, talk about, do you think Jose Altuve should be suspended forever? Do you think these players should get more punished than they are? Because, honestly, I think the punishments are kind of weak.
I definitely think the punishment's weak. I am a supporter of vacating the championship. It's tainted. They cheated. It's proven they cheated. And there's no way that they deserve that championship whatsoever. There's no argument. But Jose Altuve, by the way, I don't even think he should have won the MVP over Judge in 2017. Judge had almost every single stat was better than Altuve. He didn't deserve to win it, even without the cheating in play.
That was Judge's true breakout year.
It was his rookie year, but yeah, he still had a better year. He deserved that MVP.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jose Altuve – I'm not sure about banning life for Jose Altuve, but I am convinced that the buzzers were used. I play baseball, but not – obviously not as high level.
But high school varsity, I mean, it's not obviously as high.
I like the quote that Gary Sanchez said, if I hit a walk-off home run, you can rip my pants off. How do you not? You just hit a walk-off. That's like almost every kid's dream. You hit a walk-off home run to send your team to the World Series, and you don't want them ripping your shirt off because, oh, your wife was mad, or you had a bad tattoo. If I had a bad tattoo, I don't care. That is just one of the stupidest arguments or excuses I've ever heard. I'm scared that the Astros are going to get hurt this year.
I mean.
And they brought this on themselves. They're not the victims here. Everything that is happening is their fault.
With that being said, do you think Pete Rose should be reinstated?
I think he should. I never agreed with him being banned for life. He gambled, but he was a manager at that point. There's nothing.
It's not like he gambled against his own team. He gambled for him to win.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Not really.
I mean, no. All right. Well, I mean, thanks for coming on the show, Sam. I mean, guys, don't think we don't exist. The SSTN podcast will try to get you at least weekly, if not every 2 weeks. I mean, we had, like, solid dates this week. We had solid time. And we're really excited to get you an episode, and we will get you more and more episodes in the future. So see you guys next time.